couldn't let me go, could you? This is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. I think you and I are destined to do this forever.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. The Capitals are moving on to the second round. They beat those pesky youngins, those Toronto Maple Leafs. Told them to get off our lawn. Joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I don't know. Nobody's bothering me on my lawn. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So let me ask you, starting off, let's just recap before we get into the inevitable news of what's coming up. Let's talk a little bit about the series that the Caps had with the Maple Leafs. This is going to be a scary Toronto team in a year, next season, maybe 2 years after that. These guys came out of nowhere. Everyone, including myself, said this was going to be a series that ends in five games. I was going to give them, you know, at least one.
And you're close.
Still, this team gave them a run for their money. I mean, were you expecting this at the end or at the end of the regular season that Toronto was going to play like this?
Was I thinking about this in the beginning of the season?
Well, no, like at the end of the regular season when you heard it was Caps Toronto, I was cool, man. I want to see that.
I think that some people were probably looking at it, present company probably included, that this was probably the easiest team to go up against in the playoffs. Toronto had been playing, you know, pretty well, and this is definitely an up and coming team, but they definitely gave the Caps the run for their money and played exceptionally well. And what was it? They went to something like every. Of the six games, five went to overtime?
Five went to overtime.
Which is stupid in so many ways of that word. But it was ridiculous to have that many overtimes. And so a lot of credit definitely needs to go to Toronto. And like you said, this is definitely going to be a scary team in the future. I was saying to one of my teammates on my indoor soccer team, because we had a doubleheader the night of game six. So I only saw the first period and about 15 minutes of the second period. That Toronto, if they get, you know, they have solid coaching, they have very good coaching, they have good offensive players, but if they can get a top defense, they could probably win the cup in the next 5 to 7 years.
Absolutely. I'm going to go on record right now, say this: next year, Toronto, President's Trophy winners.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying you're wrong.
It is in recording. We have it on record. That's my prediction. But this team was very good. There was a lot of luck on their side. Lady Luck was on their side. There's no doubt about it. That last goal that they got in the series, Austin Matthews got with that weird bounce off the board. That's something you don't see every day. However, like you said, five out of the six games went to overtime. Is that the Toronto showing how good they are, or was that the Caps' inability to put the team away?
A little column A, a little column B.
You think so?
I mean, we see it's not the first time we've seen something like this where the Caps struggle to put teams away, and they have a hard time kind of putting the apologize if it seems harsh, but the boot on the throat and just ending a team, and they let them hang around. And so it wasn't entirely surprising something like that happened, but it would be great if this team could find a way to start just shutting people out.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that as we preview the next series coming up. We're just going to put a bow on this Toronto series before we do that. So, hero of Game 6 is Marcus Johansson. This guy's been playing very well throughout the postseason. We've seen this in the past from Marcus, but he really seems to have a fire lit under him right now. What do you think why do you think that is? Is it just because it's the playoffs?
He's getting some at home more. I don't know. I mean, it could be a wide range of things that are causing him to play well. No, I think that he's kind of woken up. He's got a little older. He's got a little more of a physicality to his game than he's had in early in his career. And I think that he's definitely taking advantage of the opportunities that he's had. For him to come out and score both goals was, I mean, it's a great thing for him. And that paycheck he's going to be getting next year is going up and up.
That's true. That's very true. I want to say again, it's a little bit about his line mates as well. It's what? It's him, Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams. Justin Williams has been doing well. He was the big hero in Game 5.
That's that top line throughout the series.
Yes, and Yevgeny Kuznetsov, it was weird. I kind of gave him crap last game. I fully admit that, and I still think his game's been a little bit suspect when it comes to scoring goals. He's still been doing good with assists, but it's really strange. In the last game, you were playing soccer or cricket or something. I forget what you were playing. But Twitter was like going off on Kuznetsov and like yelling at him and telling him, come on, what are you doing? And then they go to the break and Alan May's there and he says that Yevgeny Kuznetsov is the player of the period. So it's interesting to see like the fan take and the professionals take on Yevgeny. And I guess I fall a little bit underneath the fan take at that point.
You fall under the haters take, I think.
What? I am not a Kuzi hater.
Sometimes. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. I think that Kuznetsov wasn't necessarily putting the puck in the net, but he's playing out of his mind. He was going around people. He was making good passes. He's getting back on defense. He just could not find a way to put the puck in the back of the net. But I thought he actually had a very good series overall, with that one minor exception of scoring goals.
Yeah, I mean, he did well. Backe has done well. TJ Oshie, he got one or two goals. But the offense overall, I think, played really well. I like the fact that even though it did go to five overtimes, and these are older guys, think about it. Toronto, like we said, is a bunch of young kids. Overtime takes its toll on older veteran players. But the Caps never gave up, even though it went to overtime. They didn't just call it quits like we've seen in the past.
No, that's true. I mean, this is a team that years ago would have been like, oh, woe is us. Our lives are so tough, and we have to play more hockey, and then they don't play more hockey because they lose. And you're right. This team was able to rise above. Sounds so silly, but they're able to start playing better and be able to keep up their energy and their momentum. And I kind of felt like when they went to the overtime in Game 6, I was like, well, that's nice. You know, we'll see. We'll have game set. I mean, it was nice of them to be able to actually, or even when they gave up the Austin Matthews goal and I saw what was going on using my phone when I was on the bench during my game. I was like, oh, damn, Toronto scored. All right, well, game 7 will be fun. And they were able to not only come back, but to be able to stick with it and get the overtime win.
Now, let me ask you, what do you think this team does? How do you think they play better? Is it usually when they're chasing a lead? Like, when the other team gets the goal first, are they kind of motivated to then get, speed up a little bit when they're going down the ice, or try a little bit harder to get the puck to go in the back of the net? Or do you think that they like playing with a lead?
Well, I think anybody likes playing with a lead. How could you not?
I would enjoy it.
I mean, you're winning. Why would you?
But like at that point,
you not enjoy that?
But once you have the lead, you kind of we've seen the Caps kind of take their foot off the gas and kind of go and play a little bit more defensively.
Yes, we have seen that in the past where they're like, "Woo, we got a lead! Everybody, high fives! Go!" Okay. Oh, they scored, kind of a thing. I think that the team, they get ahead of themselves a little bit. I think that's why they had some of those problems in the past where they were never able to come back when they would go down. They let the momentum, they let the pressure get to them. And I think to some extent, having these veteran guys like Orpik and Niskanen to some extent, and bringing in Justin Williams and Shattenkirk and being like, everybody just relax. Like, just because his one time went poorly or that one game went poorly, is not the end of the world.
All right. So, anything else you want to talk about with the Toronto series, or should we move on to the inevitable?
That team they're playing next.
Yeah.
The team that they shouldn't be playing next, but they are.
Yeah, maybe they should be playing in a couple weeks, but here we are.
Well, I mean, it's like, the freaking NHL needs to make up its mind in terms of what they actually want to be. Like, is this a divisional thing where you're getting out of the division, or is this a thing where, yeah, you kind of are, but not really? Because if you go back and you look at it, when they started going back, instead of doing the one through eight, one plays eight, two plays seven, three plays six, four plays five, that kind of thing, they went to, oh, we're going to make it, you have to get out of your division. And so, the top four teams in the Metro and the top four teams in the Atlantic, and then they would compete, and then the top one from each would be in the conference final, and they would go and represent the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup final, that whole kind of thing. However, it was like, oh, well, what if, there's a team in the Metro that's the fifth seed, but they're better than the fourth seed in the Atlantic, all right? Well, they would then go over. But that's not the case this year. You had the Rangers, who were the first wild card spot, and Toronto, the Rangers, who were in the Metro, and Toronto, who's in the Atlantic, and they're in the second wild card spot. But then for some reason, they flip-flopped divisions. And it makes sense. Like, if you want to have a divisional matchup and rivalries, and I believe one of the big reasons they did this was because of rivalries, then stick with that. And it should have been the Caps and the Rangers in the first round. But instead, they, for some reason, decided to split that up, which, A, gave the Rangers an easier division to get out of, because if you look at statistically, the Metropolitan is a tougher division. Yeah, the top three teams, I believe, I've checked the numbers, but I'm fairly certain that the top three teams in the Eastern Conference were the Caps, the Penguins, and the Blue Jackets. And then now you've got these the Rangers have an easier shot, and it doesn't make any sense. Like, the Rangers could be the winner of the Atlantic Division. They're not even in the frickin' division. And then they're like, oh, look at this. But then you have a lot of people that are like, what are you doing? Why are you having your top two teams in the Eastern Conference playing each other not in the conference finals or playing in the second round? It doesn't make any sense.
Gary Bettman just looks at everybody and goes, guys, come on. It makes sense if you think about it. And everyone kind of goes,
and everyone went, no, it doesn't.
No, sure doesn't.
You're wrong, you freaking moron.
Yeah, I don't understand this either. It's Caps Penguins. Shocker. Here we go again. And it's happening again in the second round. This is going to be the series that literally everybody watches. Doesn't matter who you're a fan of, you're going to be watching Caps Penguins. Everybody you know that doesn't watch hockey is going to have an opinion on this series. So I'm intrigued to see what happens. But like you said, I don't like this whole setup, because right now you have number one versus number two, and what, number five versus number seven? Doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, it's the NHL, man. That's all I can say.
So, as a way to bridge these two series that we've seen, I saw a very interesting comment on an NHL on NBC Sports thing on Facebook, where somebody
said,
"You're
not going to see one on ESPN."
Well, you'll see lots of comments, but nothing from an actually intelligent sports writer.
No, because they don't work there anymore.
No, they don't, and that really sucks for them. You know, I feel sorry for everyone that got let go today from ESPN.
When you let get rid of Butch Cross, man, that guy was awesome. And a bunch of other ones. Edward, like, what the hell?
I mean, a lot of people put their life and soul into ESPN. One guy, I think, was there for 17 years covering the NFL. And when you're let go from a company, it affects the worker. It affects his or her family. It affects everybody. And it's a terrible thing to go through. So there's a lot of talent that ESPN just let go that is definitely going to get picked up.
And stupidly keeping around, like Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of people you'll probably see on the MLB Network or the NHL Network, the NFL Network, Fox Sports 1, TSN. There's
Sports.
Yes, there will be a lot of talent to go around to make these other networks stronger, and the big conglomerate will be getting weaker. But it sucks to be let go from anywhere. So thoughts go out to all those people that were let go by ESPN today. It really sucks. It's the nature of the beast in that business, though. But anyway, so this person was talking about Caps, Penguins, and he said, look at what the Capitals did in the first round. They were barely able to beat a bunch of kids. How are they going to beat Pittsburgh? And I thought it was very interesting. A lot of people came to the defense of the Caps and said, they beat a bunch of kids. They beat, you know, the number one draft pick, and they beat a lot of, yes, rookies, but a lot of talented rookies, some of them in the top 10 of the last year. So this was not a team that was supposed to be taken lightly, and if anything, I think Toronto has gotten the Capitals ready for a real long fight against Pittsburgh.
To some extent, I mean, we kind of expected the Pittsburgh Columbus series to be a brawl, beat them up, and we kind of expected Pittsburgh to be coming out of that thing wounded and bruised and beaten to some extent, and that was not the case. They kind of, well, Columbus tried to beat him up, especially Matt Calvert. What a douchebag that guy is. But we expected a little bit more from Columbus to beat up the Penguins a bit, and that wasn't the case. And so we have to hope that the Caps are ready for this one, and they're going to have to up their game even more so than they already did against Toronto. And it's going to be a tough one. I mean, this is a very good Pittsburgh team, as we're always expected to see. They have some of the best players in the NHL, and the Caps have their work cut out for them.
They absolutely do. And it was interesting, game one against Toronto, the Caps kind of came out a bit flat-footed. And they said, well, it was the nerves. We know how much is on our shoulders. We know how much it was a two-year plan. This is the last year of that plan. We know what we have to do. And we came out and the nerves got to us. Well, I'm sure as much as the fans remember last year, the Caps have to remember last year and what went down against Pittsburgh. So what do you predict to see from the Caps game one? Are they going to have those nerves knowing that the entire regular season and the series against Toronto all lead up to the moment of Caps-Penguins, once again, the rematch, Caps-Penguins 2, second time in two seasons, and all the changes made, all the people brought in, it was all to face the Penguins in the second round again.
I mean, we'll see if it made a difference. This is a team that, have their demons or whatever it is with the Penguins, and this team has high expectations for themselves, and the fans have high expectations for the team, and you just hope that the players are ready to match it. It's going to be tough. I mean, every round further along you get, it's a harder game. There's more pressure. There's more, not more eyes watching you, but it's significantly more difficult. And if the players are not prepared for that, this is going to be a quick one.
Now, what is the biggest difference in this team compared to last year? The Capitals, I mean. Pronouns, pal.
Everybody's a year older?
Well, we see a lot of the same faces. We see Ovi and Backy and Oshie.
Technically, that's true.
Marcus Cousy. We've seen all these guys before, but what makes it any different than the team that went against the Penguins last year?
Shattenkirk? No, it's a matter of the coaching staff is a year wiser, I guess. The players are a little bit wiser. They've had more time to work together. You've got Lars Eller. I think that the bottom six is definitely better this year for the Capitals than it was last year. And I think that plays a large role. We saw last year how the Flyers' bottom six was a pain in the ass, and then the Penguins' bottom six are a pain in the ass, and hopefully the Capitals' bottom six can be a pain in the ass and be able to come in and be able to cause problems and score goals. And we saw that the second line this year for the Capitals with Kuznetsov, Williams, and Johansson are playing exceptionally well, and hopefully they continue that in the next series, and the first line gets going with Backstrom, Ovechkin, and Oshie, and then you continue the stellar play from that third line. And I think it'll be nice to see, hopefully, that the faceoffs start to favor the Capitals a little more in the last series. If they out against Toronto, the faceoffs were, it was pretty ugly. And every time I felt like I was really paying attention, as opposed to just, you know, you're watching the game, but you're like, every time I felt like there was a faceoff that Toronto won, and it got to be kind of a problem. And I think against a team that has as many offensive weapons as the Penguins do, that you're going to have to win more of these faceoffs, especially in the defensive zone. Otherwise you're just giving them more and more and more scoring opportunities. And this is a team that will take advantage of that.
Yeah, they definitely will, and I'm glad you brought up faceoffs. I do want to bring up my boy Beagles, Jay Beagle. He's the faceoff king. He kind of had some trouble in Toronto and wasn't able to win.
Toronto, D.C., all of them. No matter where.
You know, Beagle's had a bit of a rough series, but he's still able to get the job done. Do you think that Beagle's going to be as versatile as he was in Toronto against Pittsburgh.
I just think, you know, he's got to start. Sounds dumb, but winning the faceoffs. Duh.
That is true.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the great insight. It all starts with, at least for Beagles games, to some extent, it all starts in the faceoff circle. That's why he's thrown out there in the defensive zone, and that's why he wins. They sometimes will throw him out there in an offensive zone faceoff just so they can win it. And that was not the case in the last round. And so I think we need to see more from him in the faceoff circle. And I do think that fourth line against Toronto was doing a good job of cycling the puck and keeping it in the offensive zone. But just couldn't, aside from Wilson a few times, they could not get any goals.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to see a little more offense production, not just, you know, it's nice to see them be able to cycle the puck and keep it in the opposing team's end. But I'd like to see a little more offensive production from that fourth line. Now, and your boy Beegs, as you call him.
My boy Beegs.
All right, tell them. I regret saying it. Now you're all excited.
Beegs is the man.
My fault, guys. I apologize.
All right. So you did bring up goals before. One of the biggest difference between these two teams from last year is that unexpectedly, Pittsburgh's going back to their old-timey goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury. The kid that came in was a hot goalie, got the Penguins throughout the playoffs. Matt Murray, right? Matt Murray.
Yeah.
He got hurt in warm-ups for the first game of the quarterfinals. What does it mean to have Fleury back in the net for the Caps? He's had a year of rest, pretty much.
No, I think they've seen plenty of both Murray and Fleury, and I don't think it matters. Yes, thanks, everybody. I planned it. I think that it doesn't matter who the goaltender is, and they're both clearly very good goalies. One of them, one of the best in the league for a while, and he's had his injury troubles. I think that's affected him. And the Penguins definitely are going to have an interesting decision to make going into the offseason regarding the expansion draft and who they're going to hang on to, because I think one of them is getting picked. That'd be interesting if it was Grubauer and one of the Penguins goalies.
What, the two backups going after each other?
Well, both going to Vegas. That'd be interesting. Anyway, sorry. Got an interesting sidetrack. No, I don't think it matters who's in net. Either way, it's going to be a tough one for the Caps, and they're going to have to make sure that they're making the opposing team's goalie make his life difficult and be able to crowd him and get in his face. And I'm not saying, like, go out and try and hurt the guy, but you want to, you know, let him know you're there.
Yeah, and we don't see the Caps do that very often. They stay out of the crease a whole lot, except for Nick Backstrom, who was forced into the crease, and that devoided a goal, but we won't get into that.
I'm going to just punch a mother... Okay.
We don't need to talk about that at the moment, because the series is over and we won.
No. Doesn't matter.
So let's talk...
Just going to be more of the same in the next one.
Even worse, because Sidney Crosby's involved. So you know he's gonna low chop some people and what do you do? What? Where? Oh, he would never. But anyway, let's talk about the Washington Capitals defense. That's what's up next. Nate Schmidt is in the lineup. I don't know how you take him out, but let's talk a little bit about Carl Alzner. He participated fully in practice. He's still sidelined with an upper body injury, but he's day to day, which means that he could come back at any moment. What do you do at this point, if Carl Alzner is healthy? I mean, you don't really want to break up a team that's working with Nate Schmidt in the lineup.
No, I think Schmidt's played well, and I think he's earned his spot. And there's been some talk about them playing seven defensemen, but I don't know who you take out of the lineup to fit him in.
I've been hearing Brett Connolly as a name you would take out because
you know hasn't played great. He's been okay. He's been there. He just isn't producing.
Game 4 or game 5, I want to say that Connolly played only about 6 minutes, which is not good. That's really...
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to sit him, you're going to have to double shift somebody for one of those lines. And so, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what are you double shifting Ovechkin or are you throwing somebody else up there? But I think it's either going to be Schmidt or Orpik that'll end up in the press box.
What do you think his injury is? Because they're saying upper body injury and day-to-day, which to me sounds like a concussion.
I mean, it's possible. I know it's going to happen, but or it's going to happen if it has happened. That's what I should say. I mean, if it's a concussion, that sucks because those things are no joke.
Yeah, and one of the Toronto players played with a concussion because the Leafs wouldn't let him go to Worlds because they said he had a concussion.
That could get them in trouble.
Well, not as bad as the friggin' Sharks letting Joe Thornton play with a torn MCL and ACL. What?
Well, he's a hockey player, man.
Torn MCL and ACL. What doctor said, okay, you can go play?
I don't tell you, man.
That's
they're
crazy.
Hockey players. They don't play around.
But still, how do you walk, let alone skate with that? But anyway, that's a Shark team. That's not the Capitals. But all right, so Carl Alsner did say that he had sports hernia surgery last offseason, and it's affected him all season, and he's a bit slower. Do you think that could also affect whatever he's got going on, this upper body injury? Could that be the upper body injury? Just
that's feeling, more like mid body though.
Feeling effects of surgery from 9 months ago.
It's possible. I mean, if you go back and you look at who was talking about this, somebody on Twitter was commenting on the fact that it could be similar situation to like Brooks Like, where he had that injury and he was just never the same player since. And maybe Alsner's sort of the same way. I mean, I was just looking at on Twitter just a moment ago where people were asking, is Alsner going to return? And there's some people that don't think that's the case. They think they'll let him go. Save the money for Oshie and maybe even Shattenkirk.
We'll see. We will see. But, I mean, it's possible. Definitely possible if he's not playing, if he's not playing up to what he once was. I mean, seeing Brooks Like go was hard just because he was a Capital for so long. Even though his play had went down, you still kind of felt bad for him. But
he's one of those guys like back when they had the fire sale in the mid-2000s, and it was tough to see a bunch of those guys leave. Not Jágr, screw that guy.
All right, anything else we should talk about with Caps Penguins? Because I've got one more, but let's just hold on. Ahead. Sidney Crosby versus Alex Ovechkin.
No,
is that even a storyline anymore?
No,
you don't think so?
They'll make it. No, personally, no, but reality, yeah, because they're stupid.
I mean, it's been going on for so long. I mean, I've been watching stuff and talking about their dueling hat tricks in 2009 in the playoffs. That was a great game.
That was amazing.
But
Alex Semin's hook of not Comrie. What the hell is that idiot's name? I can't remember. Anyways. Aside from that, I mean, that was a phenomenal game.
But do you think that there is any
is
sort
that
of
Super
story?
Bowl Sunday?
No, that was a playoff game.
Oh, I'm thinking, duh. Sorry.
It's late.
I'm tired. I was thinking of the Super Bowl Sunday game where the Penguins went up like 4-1 and the Caps came back to win 5-4 or something like that in overtime on a Mike Knuble goal. Sorry. Anyways, back to the present. I think it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be a tough series. You got the Penguins, so many offensive weapons between Malkin and Crosby and all these guys and
Kessel and
Fatty McWeirdhead. And what's the other guy's name? Sheary.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the Penguins have a lot of talented players, but this whole Ovechkin versus Crosby thing is just such nonsense.
Well, I think, it's really Pittsburgh versus Washington at this point. The rivalry's been going on for so long, way before Crosby versus Ovechkin. And this seems like this is just yet another chapter, and this is the longest book ever.
Well, it's always going to be – the rivalry will always be Pittsburgh versus Washington. And if the Caps hadn't gone out and drafted Ovechkin and the Penguins hadn't gotten Crosby – it would still be Washington versus Pittsburgh because of the history. But the history is more with the fans, not the organizations, I guess, to some extent, but not the players.
Right. All right, so anything else we should cover?
Maybe a little bit with this recent, just because of, like, they've played each other a bunch of times in the past few years in the playoffs, and so you have some of it with the longer-term players. But, I mean, even that, there's so many games in the regular season. They've both gone through different playoff series. It's just – it's not – quite as big a deal as the media makes it out to be.
Yeah, I feel like it's not that big a deal anymore, but it's the first thing that you see when when they want to talk about it. And I'm going to be trying to sync up my Amazon Echo to Caps Radio and the game I'm watching, so I don't have to listen to the terrible national coverage for the rest of the
rest of the series.
I don't want to hear it's Milbury and Pierre
all the time.
That's right, and I'm sick of it. But anything else we should cover in Caps world?
No, I don't know. Probably, but who cares?
it's Caps Penguins again.
Here we go again.
There's not much really to add there, I don't think. I mean, if you ask me,
it's not a lot has changed between the two teams. So you have some things here and there. You have Shattenkirk and Eller. Penguins have made a couple of moves, but it's. I mean, they're two very good teams, and it's just a disappointing thing that they're taking on each other in this round and not the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think the Capitals should invite Eric Fair and Steven Alexi and maybe Brooks Lake.
Is that a little insulting since they all play for Toronto?
Well, maybe, but invite them to the game and give them front row seats behind the Penguins bench.
They're not going to care. Fair's going to be like, hey, I had a great time. I won a cup when I was there.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the Caps will be like, oh, what's that like?
Ooh.
And I know they're my team, but come on.
Jeff Schultz has a cup before Ovechkin. Just saying that
he didn't even play. Or maybe he did. His name is on the cup. Yeah, whatever. Traffic cone.
All right. That's it for Caps World. We're going to go. We know. we're going to go down on the farm and talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. The Caps aren't the only one in the postseason. Bears and Stingrays going strong. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Thanks, Macho Man.
Oh, yeah, dig it.
All right, settle down.
Woo.
In the past week, Hershey started their best of five series against Lehigh Valley, winning games 1 and 2. So I need one more for those of you keeping track. Game 3 is tonight, that being Wednesday, at the Giant Center with, if necessary, game 4 in Hershey on Saturday and game 5 on Sunday in Lehigh Valley. Last thing I saw, and this won't matter considering the fact that we're recording this and it's not live, but I believe Hershey's up 1-0.
Yeah.
Off a Stan Galiev or Galiev or whatever his freaking name is, goal. So I believe last I saw they're up 1-0. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays won 4 straight after they went down 0-2 and defeated Greenville in their opening round of the Kelly Cup Finals. 4-2. They will take on the winner of Florida and Orlando starting on Monday. So one way or another, they're going to get some sunshine in their next series. But that's what's going on down on the farm.
Should tell where. All right, so where's Florida versus Orlando is what you're saying. Where does the Florida
team?
Yeah,
I know. I understand how stupid it sounds.
Where does the Florida team play?
Hold on. The Everblades, which I honestly, that is kind of a cool name.
The Everblades.
Like, I'm not even mad because that's kind of clever. They play in Estero, Florida. Where the hell is that?
I don't know.
Southern on the West Coast, like across from Miami? Kind of. Estero is a village in Lee County, Florida, United States. Thanks, Wikipedia. Near Fort Myers.
Okay. Good to know.
They're the ECHL affiliate of the Carolina Hurricanes. Huh. Whatever. Screw them. So one way or another, you get some nice weather. You can go to Disney World, or you can go to, I don't know, Southern Florida.
Universal Studios and Disney World. And
Universal Studios.
Is it World or Land down wins? There?
That's Disney World. Disneyland's in California.
All right. I always get those two mixed up. Sorry, I'm not a Disney file like everybody else. But you should go see Moana because that movie was great.
My future brother-in-law works down in Disney World.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I have friends that go down there 4 to 5 times a year.
Good Lord.
I know. All right, so that is it for down...
That's expensive.
I know. I don't know how they do it. It's crazy. All right, so that is it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays, get those Calder and Kelly Cups and bring them back to the Caps organization. Now let's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. The Stanley Cup playoffs are keeping people busy. Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Before we go into the playoffs, let's go with a couple bits of NHL news. As the league released their finalists for the Jack Adams Award, nominating Toronto's Mike Babcock, Edmonton's Todd McLellan, and Columbus's John Tortorella, I believe is his name. They're the finalists for the Jack Adams Award, awarded to the top coach in the National Hockey League. Vancouver has a new head coach as they have hired Travis Green. Green was the head coach of Utica. Utica? I don't know how to say that freaking city. Vancouver's AHL affiliate. Boston has announced they will keep Bruce Napkin Cassidy as their head coach going into the next season. Look at the napkin joke. Go back and watch every episode where we talked about this moron. Cassidy went 18. He's probably not a moron. He's just so dumb when he was with the Caps. Cassidy went 18-8-1 after replacing Claude Julien on February 7th. And the NHL draft lottery will be held on Saturday in Toronto. Colorado has the best odds after they sucked horribly this season. They got the best odds to win with 18%, followed by Vancouver, then Vegas. Watch Vegas win. You just know the NHL will do something sketchy like that. It would just be so... ridiculous. Let's go back into the Stanley Cup playoffs where Brandon,
yeah,
Nashville destroyed Chicago. They swept them 4-0. What the hell happened in the stupidly named Windy City? I was in Chicago recently. It wasn't that windy.
I want to know what happened because I picked them to go all the way to the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, way to go. I'm not the kiss of death anymore. So there's that. St. Louis won 4-1 over Minnesota. Bruce Boudreau continues his stellar streak in the playoffs. Anaheim swept Calgary. Brandon, way to go on that one, although I think I said that made the same call, so my bad, Calgary. I apologize, Troy Brower. Edmonton won 4-1 over San Jose, which means Todd McLellan got back at his old team. Columbus, we saw, lost to the Penguins 4-1. Washington won 4-2. Yeah, suck it, Toronto, you bastards. I clicked the thing and it went away. Ottawa won 4-2 over Boston. Not really surprising there. I think we both called that one.
No, I picked Boston.
You suck.
Ottawa's been playing really bad before the playoffs. I just figured it would continue.
They said, suck it, Brandon. And the Rangers getting a free ride almost to Eastern Conference Finals. Probably not fair. Hopefully Ottawa beats them. Rangers won 4-2 over Montreal. A lot of questions now about this Montreal Canadiens team. And I believe... Greg Wyshynski tweeted, though it may not actually be the case anymore, that PK Subban may have more goals in the playoffs than the entire Montreal team. If that's the case, wow.
Tom Wilson has the same amount of goals as the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, Lehigh Valley tied it up 1-1.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's probably true, though, about the Chicago. Chicago apparently forgot that to win this game, you actually have to put the puck into that. Whoops.
I thought it was interesting. It was really weird that I said that Nashville was going to be a big cup contender in maybe 2 to 3 years. Maybe I'm a little late on that. Maybe these guys do have what it takes to go all the way because...
You know, it's possible.
They looked really good against the Caps this year. They're fast. They're young. They have Philip Forsberg. They have PK Subban. I mean, this is...
Shut up.
Predators are a solid team. They really are.
Dave Poyle. Come back. All right, should we go through and see who we're going to win these next couple series? I am not saying anything about the Caps Pens.
Nope. Also, the Predators, by the way, were hanging out at UFC Fight Night on Saturday because that was in Nashville, and they showed PK Subban on the big screen.
Man, that guy just loves the attention. All right, Nashville, St. Louis, who do you got?
Oh, man, I'm Nashville.
Ignoring the fact that they're playing at the moment.
Nashville, that's who I say.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
Good for you.
Shut up. I just think they're playing exceptionally well right now. They got a lot of momentum, a lot of confidence.
Yeah. Even though, since getting rid of Kevin Shattenkirk, the St. Louis Blues have been doing fairly well on their own.
They also fired Hitchcock, who was going to retire and then now signed with Dallas. Signed with Dallas, I guess. Yeah, he's the new head coach of the Stars. So, sure. No, I think this one's going 7.
All right.
What do you think? How many games?
6.
6 for Nashville. I'm saying 7. All right, Anaheim and Edmonton.
This one I had no clue would happen. I want to say Edmonton.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same. Edmonton in 6.
I'll go the full 7. Why not?
Mm. All right. Rangers, Senators.
Rangers.
I'm going Ottawa in 7.
Ottawa to the Eastern Conference Finals, really?
I just don't want the Rangers to win.
I know.
Because if it goes poorly and it's Rangers, a stupid team, flightless birds, you just know the flightless bird. Then it's the bat. You know what's going to end up being? It's either Rangers or the flightless birds against Nashville. So no matter what, it's going to suck to be a Caps fan.
And the other thing is that I put away my Nashville Predators shirt for some reason. I might have to get that back out.
The hell do you have a Nashville Predators shirt?
When I know people that go to places, I like them to pick up like hockey team memorabilia for me. So
you know, when I was in, oh shoot, what's the name of the town?
Chicago.
No, shut up. Oh my god, this is going to. I have to go look it up on Google now. I was up in Canada years ago. Vancouver. And there was a WHL team. No, shut up. Though I was tempted to get a Vancouver shirt, and I believe I was talked out of it. But I did go into GM Place, and I was tempted to buy something from their team store.
So,
there's a WHL team in Kamloops. There it is. We went by their arena, and I kind of wanted to buy a t-shirt.
You should have.
It was a nice town. It would have been cool.
Our buddy Phil and I had talked about there's a train that goes all the way across Canada, and it's like a 2-week trip. And him and I were kind of talking about doing that one year and stopping at all little like tiny little Canadian towns that have like WHL teams or whatever, and seeing all the minor league teams that we could go to games like every night. But
who knows? I wouldn't mind going to a minor league game. That would be, like a Canadian. Like a WHL game or something. That would be cool.
I'd love to see the Calgary Hitmen. Absolutely would love to see them. Funny you brought up, though, stopping in Vancouver. I went to Vancouver it was August of the year that they lost to Boston and rioted. And I was in the airport.
That was intense.
Yeah, I was in the airport.
Nice airport.
Oh, beautiful airport. But I was going home, and I had searched for like 3 days because I was there for work. I flew out one day. I used to work for a TV show about cars, and I flew out. Then I had dinner with the car people. Then the next day we test drove cars, and then the day after that I went home. All of that 3 days for Vancouver. But so I'm leaving, and I can't find Canuck stuff anywhere in the city. And there's one little kiosk right by my gate that is selling Vancouver Canucks shirts. And I'm like, where is all your Canucks stuff? I want to buy a shirt. I love hockey. And the guy goes, yeah, we're still really ticked off at them. So we stopped selling all their gear. And I'm like, as a city? Really? I mean, geez, I know hey, they man, lost.
They don't play around.
They don't. They're not joking when you mess up with their hockey. But, man, they were still mad in August. I couldn't get over that. But yeah, Nashville, I think they might be my new pick in the West, which means they are doomed now.
It means, they are going to lose the series. Congrats, St. Louis.
Yeah. 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 Let's not say Caps, Penguins, what's going on, but.
Nope.
It is a tale as old as time with these two teams.
All right, settle down.
It is. They are destined to do this forever.
No. What?
They're destined to do this forever.
You went a different direction than that with that one.
I did. Okay.
That got weird.
They are.
No, you know what?
Freddy versus Jason.
Right. What?
Freddy versus Jason. Right. Alien versus Predator. Caps versus.
Time to wrap it up, man.
Rocky versus Apollo.
Okay, shut up.
That's what this is. All right, so. You guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan, or you can tell me how to put this little stupid window thing back up from Skype. Or it went.
Sorry.
Nice. Used to be able to, like, when I would click away, because I keep, you know, I have Twitter open while we're recording in case something happens or Hershey's playing. We're trying to figure out what's going on with the game. And now it doesn't ever bring it back. I don't know where the window went, so I can't see if you're making stupid faces or something while we're recording.
Most likely I am.
Yeah, I know. It's fun. we kind of both do that because both are kind of screwing around while we're recording. But yeah, if you want to tell me how to do that or tell me about Arsenal getting a lucky win today against Leicester and still trying to get in the top four.
Yeah.
Should be better than that. Brandon doesn't even know what sport I'm talking about.
That cricket again.
Oh, shut up. That's pickleball. At WTP. That's not a thing.
That's a thing. It's a tournament. It's called pickleball. It's a thing. I swear to God. You need to Google it. Put it in your Google machine.
That's not a thing either.
It's a thing.
At WTP Coach Dan. You can tweet Brandon at Brando Cash. Tell him he's an idiot.
You can block Brandon, me at Brando Cash.
You can block him at Brando Cash. Go find him to block him. Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash. There it is. Entertainment.
Sure. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and all the podcasts that we produce here. Go to Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at WhatThePuckPod. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Any kind of cool articles or whatever we find pertaining to the Capitals, we'll put up there. I put up the greatest song ever as a victory song against Toronto. Bobby Roode's Glorious. Such a good song to listen to when you're hyped up, having a good time. It's Coach Dan's favorite. I know it. It's nope, glorious. Nope. It is nope, glorious. Nope. All right, so we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Caps fan. They're going to beat up those pesky Penguins. And you should listen to What the Puck as well. You know what? I forgot to add in. I do have a cool Penguin story. I got to tell you this. So do you know those paint nights people go on, like at a bar? It's a 2-hour thing and you paint and you have dinner. Never heard of it. Man, what is wrong with you? They're very popular.
Not much of a painter.
Nor am I. I was told in high school I have the intellect of art of a 2-year-old.
That's not good.
No, and that teacher was a jerk. But there's these classes you can take, and it's you go to a bar, a sports bar, or any sort of restaurant or many other places, and they give you a blank canvas, and they have somebody teaching you how to paint this painting. You know, everyone does the same one. So, and they turn out differently. Well, I went to one at the Maryland Zoo, and it was at the Penguin exhibit. If you've ever been to the Maryland Zoo, the Penguin exhibit is very well done. You can actually, like, you can go in, there's a little place, that's where they set us all up to paint, but you can actually watch the penguins underwater swim, and they do their thing, you watch them feed them, and all that other kind of stuff. Well, this was about 2 to 3 weeks ago, and you painted a penguin in the penguin house, and I got done my painting, and I'm like, you know what, I can't paint a penguin this close to the playoffs. So I went a little out of the box and painted my penguin, and then I gave him one of those little, you know, triangle flyers, like one of those banners, you know? And I wrote
Caps.
Pennants! That's a word! That's why I keep you around. That was the best face I've ever seen in my life. I was like, whoa, hey! That was mean.
Unnecessary. But guys, Brandon hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry. But anyway, so I got my penguin holding a pennant that says Caps real big on it. Because, of course, I got to show my Caps support, even though I'm drawing a penguin. But anyway, let's talk about the schedule coming up until we talk again. So on Thursday, April 27th, game one against Pittsburgh, against those Penguins. That game you can watch on NBC Sports. Unfortunately, it's all national coverage from now on. Joe B. and Locker are retired this year. We are going to miss them dearly.
I don't think that's the right way to phrase that.
Well, they'll be back next year, but they can.
CSUNDER probably has some stuff with them.
Yeah, yeah, but we won't hear them call games until next September or October, so that sucks. And then on Saturday, April 29th, the Capitals up against Pittsburgh. That game is at 8 o'clock, and that is going to be on NBC primetime broadcast television. Is this when they do the draft? Like the draft lottery? Is it the Saturday game in the playoffs? Because I remember last year they had all like the GMs and they had it set up like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they had envelopes, and oh god, it was stupid. It delayed the game.
They always try and make a big deal out of it, and it's not.
It was so stupid, but it delayed the game to like an 8:30 start, which just ticked me off. And then on Monday, May 1st, the Capitals up against the Penguins, and that's at 7:30, and that will be on NBC Sports, and then we will be back to get you ready for game 4, 5, and so on. So I think that's pretty much it for the show, Coach. Caps Penguins, here we are again.
Here we go again.
It's just, it never ends. Never, ever ends. All right. That's it for the show this week. Wear your red, wear your cap sweaters. Do everything you can to give these guys some good karma, some good luck. Say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.